Good evening, and it's my privilege and joy to address you on this occasion. I want to bring to you a Bible study this evening on the subject of revival. Very important subject indeed. I want just to read some verses from the 85th Psalm, and we'll read just a few verses in this Psalm, beginning at verse number 4. Psalm 85, verse number 4. It says, "Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Then this important verse, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can come to the God of revival, drawing near to thee, in the name of your own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying that in this time thou wilt bless our hearts through thy word. May the Holy Spirit come upon both me and those who watch on through our webcast, and may thy word be with power to every heart and to every soul. We ask this in the Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen. As I just said to you, I want to speak to you this evening and on subsequent occasions on the subject of revival, really entitling what I want to say in this way, Meditations on Revival. It is a very important subject. It's a vital one. There are many who would address you on this particular area of things, and maybe the teaching that is going forth today from certain quarters is not as clear as it should be. And so we want to come to the Word of God and consider what the Lord has to say on the issue of revival. Here in this Psalm, Psalm 85, and in verse number 6, we have a great cry going up from the Lord's servant and the Lord's people in days long ago. It says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Those who have understanding of the times in which we live would certainly agree that we need the Lord to step in and bring what we might call true biblical revival into his church and among society in general. The word for revive in this psalm, in this verse number 6 of Psalm 85, is used many times in the Old Testament and basically means to live, being translated in numerous ways, referring to life in various realms. It is a word that has to do with the matter of possessing life and giving life and indeed enjoying life. It has, as I say, different translations that are indicative of its essential meaning, such as to live, to recover, to revive, to give life, to keep alive, to preserve alive, and to quicken. Therefore, in that it is sometimes translated in terms of revival, it is plainly seen that the biblical concept of revival pertains to the realm of that true spiritual life of which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is the author and the giver. I want just to enlarge on that statement in a number of ways. To begin with, the word revive, as we trace it in Scripture, signifies a coming to life from the dead. As I've noted with you, the original word can mean, and is often translated, to give life. And therefore, that's one of the basic meanings of revival. It's a movement of the Spirit of God to give life, to bring a quickening upon the souls of men and women who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. We find the word used in terms of giving life in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 22. Where we read of the resurrection of the widow of Zarephath's son, and it's described in terms of reviving. It says in that verse, "The soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." And obviously, the son, the widow's son, was dead. And the words here cannot be understood in any other way. But it says, the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. There was a conquest of death. There was the imparting of new life. And the Spirit of God says he was revived. And surely we have an insight there into what takes place when the Lord sends revival. He replaces spiritual deadness with spiritual life. Another passage where the same fact is clearly seen is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and in a number of verses in that chapter, which I want just to turn to now and draw to your attention, we find that this same matter of the coming to life from the dead is clearly in view. Ezekiel chapter 37 and the verse number 5, and it says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. In verse 6, we have the same words basically, and ye shall live. Or verse 9, that they may live. And then verse 10, we have the great miracle there in the valley of dead dry bones in the vision that Ezekiel was given. And it says, I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And so again we notice the conquest of death and the giving of new life. On this basis, therefore, in these particular scriptures, we are able to see very clearly what the Word of God has to say on these matters concerning revival. And so revival is this great act of God in which he gives spiritual life to those who are dead in their sins. And therefore we have laid down for us in both 1 Kings and Ezekiel 37 this view of what revival actually is and how it takes place and what God does when he moves in such a marvellous way upon the hearts of men and women. We go to the New Testament and we have the Lord Jesus speaking in the New Testament on this matter. In John chapter 3 and verse number 8, he uses the analogy of the wind as he speaks of the new birth. And he shows there the indispensability of the movement of the Spirit, as symbolized by the wind, in order to bring about the new birth, or therefore to bring about new life. And over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, verse 2, we have another verse that ties in with John 3 verse 8. And there we have a reference to the Holy Spirit again under the symbolism of the wind. And so the Lord says in John 3 verse 8 that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now the new birth is the giving of new life. It is the conquest of the death that sin has brought into the hearts of men and women. And as a result, there is this reviving, and there is this awakening, and there is this coming to spiritual life in the experience of those who have been dead in their sins. We find in times long ago that this is what happened in days when the Church of Jesus Christ was experiencing great blessing and great power as God the Holy Spirit moved in reviving times. We think of the Reformation. It was one of the greatest revivals, but perhaps the greatest since the times of Pentecost. Or we think of the days of Whitfield and Wesley and the great Welsh preachers like Daniel Rowlands. And then on the other side of the Atlantic, we have the men such as the Tennants and others who were greatly used of God at that same period in history. And so we have epochs when God moved and when revival came. And we can certainly see that it was a giving of life from the dead. Then also we find, as we trace this word that means revive in the scriptures, that it signifies as well a rekindling of life that already exists. This is how the word revive is also used in the Old Testament scriptures. And the sense of it's found again in the New Testament. And so in this text, here in Psalm 85, verse number 6, the psalmist's prayer is that the Lord would revive his people again so that they would rejoice in him. And very clearly from those words we can see that there was a time of deadness and a time of joylessness, and there was need for God to come and rekindle the spiritual life of his people. Now, that sense of the word revive is brought before us in various ways, interesting ways, in certain verses. For example, Genesis 45 and the verse number 27. You read there of this man Jacob who's in view, and it says, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Jacob was an elderly man, and he was emotionally drained at this time because of all that was going on with regard to the discovery that his son Joseph was yet alive and that he, Jacob, was going to see him again. It was overwhelming for him. His spirit sank within him. He felt he could not contend with the situation. And yet, as a result of all that Jacob discovered when he met Joseph, we are told this wonderful statement, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. There was the rekindling of life and strength within Jacob. Or we can go to Judges 15 and verse 19, and we read these words. When he had drunk, that is Samson, his spirit came again, and he revived. Now, Samson was not dead. Rather, he was exhausted. He was utterly drained after the exertions of battle, and because of the raging thirst. But he was yet alive. But what he needed was a rekindling of his life. And just like Jacob, as we saw there in Genesis 45, Samson's physical life was revived. It was renewed. It was rekindled because of the simple matter of drinking from the water that the Lord supplied to him. And so these are two examples of how the word revive is used. And we always must keep in mind that we understand a word through the means by which the Holy Spirit uses that word. And while we have already seen that it signifies the giving of life when there has been deadness, now we're finding that this word revive signifies and clearly teaches that revival is to be seen as a rekindling of spiritual life. In the experience of Christ's church, there are seasons when the spiritual life of his people does flag and it becomes a state of inertia, and there is, over the whole church of God perhaps, indolence and carelessness and worldliness creeps in. And what is needed in that situation is this reviving. Now, the same word that we're looking at here, this word revive, the original Hebrew word, is also translated to quicken. And we find this, for example, 14 times it is translated that way in the book of Psalms. I can't take you through all of those references, but we can look at just a few of them. For example, in Psalm 71, where the psalmist is praying and seeking the Lord, he uses the word quicken. And he says, thou shalt quicken me and bring me up again. And he talks there about life being restored and renewed, and he therefore uses the word quicken. Or Psalm 80 and verse 18, he prays there, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. And so we could go to other verses, but these are sufficient because they make it very clear that this is what it means for God to revive his people. When he comes upon them, those who already possess spiritual life, and that life has become dull and without vibrancy, the Lord works, the Lord moves, he stirs their hearts, he rekindles the flame, as it were, within their souls, and they find their zeal and their fervour being renewed and rekindled, as I've used the word, and they are brought again to a higher level of spirituality and prayerfulness and love for the Lord and desire after him. Then in the third place, the word revive signifies the preservation of the work of God, the preservation of the life that he gives. One of the outstanding uses of the word revive in that sense is in Genesis 45 and the verse number 5, where the Hebrew word for revive is translated to preserve life. And in Genesis 45 and verse 5, we have the time whenever Jacob and his brothers are conversing together, or Joseph and his brothers, and Joseph tells them that God had sent him before them to preserve life. And it's the same word, the word that means revive or quicken. Here it's translated to preserve life. Or in Psalm 138 and verse number 7, we have the word translated in that same way as well, this matter of preserving life. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, contain a fervent plea for the Lord to revive his work and his people. And in that reference, in the margin, you find that the word for revive, this same word, is shown also to be capable of being translated in this way, to preserve alive. And there you have it, preserving alive. The prayer is, wilt thou not revive us again here in Psalm 85 verse 6, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And they were thinking of all these matters. The giving of life where there was deadness. The rekindling of life that already existed. The preserving alive of the work of God and the witness of God in their own souls and in the corporate body of the Lord's people. I say to you that this is what we need in our day and generation. The Lord to move, the Lord to visit, the Lord to revive, to give life where there's nothing but deadness, to bring about that awakening of unregenerate souls, to stir up the hearts of his people and give them that renewed, rekindled life that they will serve the Lord in a new way. And then, of course, through all of that, there's a preservation of God's work and witness and testimony in this world. And I ask you to take this to heart. Make this your prayer. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And may the Lord be pleased to answer that prayer abundantly in our times and bring these great experiences among us in a new way, in a powerful way, for his own glory and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and join with us again the next time as we come back to these meditations on revival.